What's going on, people? Welcome back to the Build Up. We had a brief hiatus, brothers, during Ramadan. It was tough to find the energy to talk about this godforsaken football club, but we are back because, as always, there is so much to talk about. This club picks you up with the sole purpose of just slamming you back down two times harder. So we're back in the sunken place. And we're here to talk about everything. I'm here with my brothers Hassan and Abu. Yo. What's going on, people?
All right, but not so all right. Watching us every single week, watching us struggle to defend, create chances, hold the ball. I see Andre Onana more times than I see any other player, really, and that says a lot.
No doubt. Abu, what's going on, bro?
I'm doing good, boys. But yeah, the devil is locked up during Ramadan, but United still coaching me, man.
Has it been a good Ramadan for you guys, or has it been?
Yeah, it's gone quite quick, really. There's been no football for 2 weeks, so it's going quite slow then. But we're at the end now, but with United.
It's just the beginning.
Alhamdulillah, Ramadan's gone well, you know. But you know, every day I watch United play, it's just like, it just makes my fast 10 times worse.
Absolutely brutal. I can't believe we all fell for the Liverpool FA Cup pump fake, man. We're all back on board. It's so classic, bro. We all this club. We're actually so fickle, bro, to fall for that. Because we were all, bro, I was looking at those videos of Erik ten Hag smiling after. I was like, I don't know. He might be cooking something. Bro was cooking nothing. He was cooking absolutely nothing.
Listen, how many pump fakes can one person give us in a season? Like, how many last-minute comebacks have we had? It's like Carmelo Anthony for the New York Knicks, bro. So many pump fakes in the corner. But, you know, never ever amounting to anything. Like, I can't, like... Even with the Liverpool result, I knew it was just a one-off. Like, whenever we're going to beat Liverpool with Bruno at centre-back and Anthony at left-back and Anthony scoring,
it was just a freak result. I think the whole promise of it is that we are a cup team and we don't really control games. We don't really control the chances that come at us. It's just the way we look at transitions all the time, I think... Us being a cup team is like what we are, and I think what we've been under Ten Hag throughout. Well, last season we were good in the league, but we were playing more mid block. Well, in the cups we were quite good. This season as well, apart from the Champions League, I'd say we've done quite well in the FA Cup. So I think due to how we play, I think our football's just more suited to that. I don't see us finishing top five anyway. I don't know about if you lot do, but
I don't see us catching up to Tottenham or Villa. I think that race is done. I think we're too inconsistent, and I don't think we stand a chance.
Yeah, the game against Brentford, our front three, they couldn't even get on the ball. Short. We couldn't even get our own half. Onana, has he faced 100 shots or something, like three, four games? What is it?
Yeah, I think the past something four like games, that. hundred shots.
And he's like highest for goals prevented. It's just, it's not nice.
That's crazy. Yeah.
The worst thing is, though, is like, afterwards in the press conferences, you can see that Ten Hag doesn't see that as a problem. He just says, it's part of our game model. We don't think it's an issue how many shots we've conceded. Because the journalist asked him, he goes, I don't see it as an issue. And what kind of manager doesn't see the fact that his goalkeeper has faced 100 shots? 100 shots over the last few games and not see that as a problem?
Like, I think he doesn't really believe that. I think he's just saying it just to cover like himself and the players. But right now, we've seen how less of a physical flaw there is in the team. Like how big of a physical flaw, sorry, and how weak our players are. Like against Brentford, every second ball it was theirs. We couldn't win anything, and just see like how our team's just lacking every bit of what a dueler is, and then the technical flaw as well. It's just we don't have a balance of anything.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, our minds are all over the place. Let's try to
narrow down.
Let's start with Brentford, just the game. What I feel is, because I always said after the Liverpool game, I was like, Brentford is going to tell me everything, because we've had, as Abu said, we have so many of these pump fakes, so many of these false doors where it's like, okay, we're about to take a step up, and then we just fall flat on our face again. And to come out with that bad of a performance, I think personally, I don't know about you guys, but I think it was our worst performance of the season. And just like footballing wise, obviously we get the late goal and then concede, but I just don't understand how you can, after all the momentum that the team had, to come out with that bad of a performance after that. Like I genuinely am, I've been trying to grasp it the whole week. Like what was Erik ten Hag doing over international break? Was he just like, I don't know, what was he doing? Like I'm simply, like, as you can tell, I'm speechless. Like I'm absolutely baffled by this guy's game plan, game model. Like, how does he think it's the, that press, bro? We're getting, it's the same way the team leaving the fullbacks wide open. Our wingers are forced to press the keeper and run back 50 yards to track the opposing fullback. It just doesn't make any sense.
The funny thing is how Brentford were performing the last few games, and how since their manager went on Monday Night Football, everyone's figured out the game plan, and
they're statistically sorry to cut you off, the worst team in Europe since I think November 11th.
Since he went on Monday Night Football,
they had 14 losses since November 11th. No other team in a top flight in Europe has had that many losses. So they're basically statistically the worst informed team in Europe. And they had 85 touches in our box.
Their formation outdid us. I don't think we adapted to it. Every time, they just close the spaces quickly. And for the first, I'd say for the first 20 minutes, we were all right. And then after that, we gassed out. Is that another talking point that the team, are they training too much? Are they training too less? What's going on there? Why are they gassing out so quick? And why did that only last 20 minutes? And then since then, we didn't adapt and they just kept coming at us. And that was, it's another talking point. And I think it points back to what are we going to do in the summer? Like, because we've seen that we're heavily lacking in a number of areas. Like,
I just think that, you know what makes it even worse, CK? You know what makes it even worse? Brentford were missing the entire back line. The entire back line was their BC. And we couldn't put anything past them. Not a shot besides that Hoyland chance, nothing else. It was literally like men against boys in that game. Like, they looked like the Brentford of last season, you know, physically imposing, long balls, you know, second balls, getting to all of them, just physically dominated opposition. And we've talked about a lot how this United team is not physically, you know, imposing whatsoever at all. So They bullied us. They let it broad us. And I don't get his game plan. I don't get Ten Hag's game plan at all. Because, again, we're implementing a high press with the front five, but the back five stay back. Again, our midfielders have to run 50 yards in between, you know, each box. Again, our wingers have to track back a lot. So, as Hassan said, that's why our players can only play for 20 minutes at a time. And then they gas out because they're running up and down like dogs. And it's clear to me now that he thinks this is the best game plan for this team. Yeah, he thinks this is the best game plan. But
I saw a clip of I think Jack put it up for someone, and I think Zaid put one up as well. Rashford running back and Garnacho running back. The amount of ground they have to cover because the eight doesn't cover it, and the fullback's not pushing forward. They have to run forward and back all game. It's like, you know, like a 100-meter sprint. They're just doing that forward and back all game.
Like 15 times a game too. It's not just
And then
it's just crazy because people are asking like, how has Dalot stayed fit the whole team? I'm like, being in Erik ten Hag's back four is actually not that much running because you're just staying back the whole time, pretty much.
You just retreating every time the ball comes.
But it's like, but it's so unsustainable. But the fact that he's got, maybe the fact that he's gotten away with it in the cup games, he thinks this can translate well to the league. But I don't get it. Like, I don't understand his brain process because, like, last season we were in the mid block.
Yeah,
we relied on Bruno. Yeah, we relied on Rashford going supernova. Yeah, we relied on Weghorst being an absolute workhorse. You know, we did rely on quite a few individual players. And, you know, Casemiro, you know, was unreal last season besides his disciplinary record. But then, early on in this season, he must have seen that, okay, this is not working. Let me just revert back to last season's game plan, you know, deal with the injuries as they come. And next season, try and build upon my philosophy or whatnot.
He's so intent on bringing
what he thinks is the best way of playing that is to the detriment of the team, the players' health, the fans' mental health, my mental health. Like, it's just like, I don't understand what he thinks. I don't understand his game plan. It just boggles my mind. It boggles my mind.
I've seen Newcastle press and they don't really, their fullbacks don't really back the press. They have a structure that the eights cover it, and I've looked at it all season and the fullbacks, if you don't want them to join the press because the centre backs are going to be left alone, that's understandable. But you, like, if you've not got centre backs fit enough to do that, but if you're gonna do that, then why not change structure and change the press like the way Newcastle do? Eddie Howe does it.
You know what I don't get is, like, last season after we lost 4-0 to Brentford,
Bucks and
he changed he changed everything, and that salvaged our season because you realised he couldn't play that style with these players. He realised that.
Yeah.
Early on this season, with Mainoo being injured, you know, Mount being unfit majority of the season, Shaw being unfit, mostly his fault, mostly Ten Hag's fault, Martinez not being fit, mostly Ten Hag's fault, but we'll get to that later. He should have realised, okay, this ain't working. Let me revert back to what went for me last season. You know, shorten the spaces for my wingers to cover, for my eights to cover. You know, sit in the mid block and just counter, and we go from there. But he's completely just does not want to do that at all. And every week we go into the game thinking, okay, he's gonna change something. He has to change something. It's the same. It's the same thing every week. And because in cup games, they're one-off games, you know, against Liverpool, you know, with the crowd behind us, Antony actually played well. For once, Ten Hag's subs actually worked. His game manager was very good. We won that game. But in the league, it's not sustainable at all. It's really not. So I just, his stubbornness is going to be what kills him, and it's going to be why I think in the summer he's not going to be here.
Yeah, CK, what do you think we do now? Like, do we just let the season go?
This is the million-dollar question, brother. For me, personally, you mean specifically with the manager situation or just in general? Yeah,
manager situation and, like...
I think it's too far gone to... I don't see the benefit necessarily of sacking him right now. I think the season's too far gone. Like, if we were talking, like, a month ago, 2 months ago, then yeah, okay, maybe we can still salvage something. But as we said, he has shown the ability to win cup games. So when we go into the FA Cup semifinal, you know, I think I'm confident of beating Coventry, and then in the FA Cup final, you know, we'll see what happens. But in terms of the league, it's just like we bring in an interim and he gets six, just like Erik ten Hag would. I mean, maybe we prevent some injuries, but in terms of like building into the next manager, whoever that may be, like, I'm not sure of the benefit that it would have sacking him right now. But just watching this, I've never ever seen a team play like this. I this is so confusing to me. And so watching it week in, week out, I keep thinking something's gonna change. Like, surely he can't persist with it again. And then we do. So for me in the league, like, I only really care about the Liverpool game, and everything else is just like, you know, Chelsea, obviously want to beat them, but like, as long as we can hamper Liverpool's title race, then we do that and then try to win the FA Cup. But everything else, bro. I'm absolutely, this club has taken every ounce of strength from my body. Like I'm so
talking about strength coming out your body. When you look at our injury list,
no, good segue.
We'll see a lot of strength there. Well, what do you think's going on in training? Do you think they beat each other up for?
Yeah, obviously we got, during the Brentford game, Lissandro Martinez goes off or Victor Lindelof goes off and Rafael Varane goes off. So we lose two center backs, and our two new center backs that we just got back, and Harry Maguire and Lissandro Martinez, are forced onto the pitch. And we get a report yesterday out of thin air. Everything seemed to be fine. That we knew Victor Lindelof was probably going to be out for a little bit. No disrespect to Victor Lindelof, but he wasn't really the main piece of news. Lissandro Martinez out for a month, calf strain, suffered in training, another muscle injury. I think the 55th injury of this season, and it can't be a coincidence, right? When you look at all these muscle injuries, when you look at players being somewhat, rushed back, I don't think if Victor Lindelof was fit that Lissandro Martinez would have come on. So I think that he was somewhat a little bit rushed back just due to the circumstances, even though I think Kambwala maybe, in hindsight, would have been a smarter choice to bring on in that physical of a game. But, these training methods, these high-intensity training methods, Erik ten Hag has talked about it, them it being survival of the fittest, and this is what the Premier League is, and you have to train crazy intensely. Garnacho's brother was on Twitter saying that, I know, after the Liverpool game, Garnacho had only trained two times this week, and Erik ten Hag still played him 120 minutes in maybe the most intense game of the season. So it's an issue, right? There's a pattern. There's a clear pattern, a clear issue that we've been noticing in terms of the game model and what the players are being forced to do both in the games and in training. And then all of these muscle injuries that we're getting. So there's no way we can ignore it now. This is Lissandro Martinez's third injury of the season. This is the first muscle one, but there's been so many muscle injuries throughout this season. And
I think
it's troubling. It's very troubling.
You can either say, well, obviously we don't see what goes on behind the scenes. We just get told stuff, but if you look at it this way, you can say Ten Hag's making them train with too much intensity, then they play a game with too much intensity, then they get muscle injuries. Or you can revert back to last season when we were playing about two, three games a week, and there wasn't many injuries then. And you could say at that time the training sessions had a lesser load. And because they were playing games, then that was how they were staying fit. Because when you look into it in a medical way, if you're training one way and you stop training that high, or playing that high intensity way, then you lessen the load, then increases the chances of injury as well, rather than training more. So I think you can blame Ten Hag, but the thing with United is we don't have a department that helps schedule the training regime and helps give advice on that. It's just like the coaches come in and they decide what to do. So
I think
it can be Ten Hag's fault, but at the same time, I think we've not put the right things in place, and this sort of thing was bound to happen, I guess. But yeah, I don't.
I think that, okay, from what I've read about Liverpool, is that Liverpool have a whole department to the players' fitness, and they track it.
Yeah, we don't.
And if they're in the red zone, they tell Klopp, this guy's in the red zone, he's close to getting injured, if you play him, don't play him. So Klopp, used to rotate quite a lot, and that's why he used to rotate. I remember when Jose was here, and they said Jose had no time for anything tech.
Yeah, nothing. He ripped up the data.
He used his own eyes and said, I could just play with my own eyes to play as fit. And he would come out in the press. He goes, I don't understand why they're playing just because they're a little bit injured. I expect players to play. I don't care. This and that, blah, blah, blah. This has been a systematic problem at United. We give the power to the coaches. And when the coaches make wrong decisions, we don't step in. We should already have a department looking at the players' health. we should already have a department looking at, okay, whether they're in the red zone, whether they're close to injury. We don't have that. And the fact that this has been, it's just another sign of this club's stupidity, that the fact that we don't have that at such a big club. And secondly, I do think Ten Hag's training sessions are too intense. As I remember Lindelof, I think it was, early, I can't pinpoint the game, early on in the season, he was saying that Ten Hag, in other words, he didn't really say, but he said in other words that Ten Hag lightened the load of the training so the players felt more fresh. I think it may have been Chelsea, I reckon. I don't remember the game specifically, but he said that. And you could tell the players were, you know, a bit more light on their feet. And Hassan is right in the sense that, you know, if you play intense in the game and you play intense in training, it's less likely to end up in injuries than it is if, you know, if you train light, then play heavy. But then play, you know, as
yeah,
a more
intense pace. Because last season we were playing like two, three times a week. So I guess in between when we played, we just did like probably light running sessions because they didn't like have time to recover. So we just play at like an intensity all the way throughout. So I think there was more balance then, and there might be less balance now because we're only playing once a week. And the fact is that
the distances we cover in the games this season are much more than the distances we had to cover last season. Another reason why I believe we've had so many injuries is Ten Hag himself, is that Luke Shaw came back fit. Luke Shaw came back and he played in 5-6 90s in a row. 5-6 90s. You can't do that with a player who's been out for 3 months. You gotta slowly embed them in. Maybe it's because we have no left backs, but why do we have no left backs? It's because you got rid of all the left backs. Malacia, no one knows what has happened to Malacia. No one knows what's happened to him. Where's he been all season? You got rid of Alvaro Fernandez. Hey, what happened to Malacia, Hassan? Do you know?
Malacia, he had an MCL injury. And then he had rehab. And then I think he had it again. So then he had to do surgery again. This is what happened. He had the injury he had surgery and the surgery didn't go too well. And I think it messed it up. So then he had to go through the whole process again and have surgery again. This is now just my opinion. Now after this, my opinion is probably like setting back. Like he's probably doesn't want to like. Is that why he doesn't want to show in the public eye? Because he's had so many setbacks and he's like mentally struggling to, you know, cope with whatever's gone on this season. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But yeah, he's had two surgeries, so that's why he's not.
I thought he had that conservative treatment and it never worked out. Doesn't mean then he went to a surgery afterwards.
Yeah, it might have been that, but when he had the surgery didn't go well.
And then okay.
What surgeons are we sending these guys to? Because Lissandro's surgery didn't work. Malacia's surgery didn't work. How is the surgery not? Like, this is Manchester, you know. We should be sent into the... It should always work.
I think, but like, I've never heard of a surgery going bad for a professional footballer.
I think what's happening is because United don't have like proper good facilities, these players, they choose to get their own surgeons, and I think both of them have chose to get their own as well. They both of them chose to get their own, so obviously you can blame them, but then you can blame United for not having the proper, you know, people in place and like trusted, like, so that players don't have to go away and do things in their own time.
But then at the same time, I get that, but then why did we get rid of Alvaro Fernandez when we knew Malacia in Shaw's always been injury prone. Malacia,
yeah, that was in January.
Why did we get rid of Alvaro Fernandez? Why did we rush back to Lissandro Martinez?
Yeah,
when he clearly wasn't fit. Yeah, he gone. He had a freak injury where the player landed on his leg. Freak injury. But then when he came on against Brentford, it was clear he wasn't fit. It was clear as day. Like, it's clear that Ten Hag rushes these guys back because he's desperate, and he wants to, obviously these are his best players, and he wants the best players to come back. And he's desperate, you know, to stay in the job and to have good results in the short term. But in doing so, it's to the detriment of these players' long-term health. And it also is his own reputation for bringing players, you know, back early from injury. Like, aka like Jose used to do, which is why we had so many injuries underneath him as well. It's just all systematic of, like, coaches having too much power in departments they shouldn't have. And us not having, you know, a department in place looking at all this sort of stuff.
Definitely, I think it's clearly when you get to this many injuries, it's not like a oh, we're just unlucky, or oh, we're cursed. Like, this is something that we're doing internally to these guys that is putting them at higher risk of injury. And I don't know if you guys remember, but after McTominay, after the Chelsea game, the first Chelsea game, McTominay talked about, he was like, the reporter asked him what contributed to this performance or whatever. And he was like, the manager this week, like, gave us less intense training sessions. And it was just like, he was so happy about it. Like, he was like, it really helped us prepare for this game and whatnot. And so I think the players clearly feel like they're being trained too hard as well. And when you have, I mean, I know we're playing one game a week, but still, you know, pretty much the same guys are starting every game in and game out. I think Garnacho has 30 straight starts, which he's getting injured soon. I promise you that. You can tell he's just absolutely burnt out. But the training sessions are just far too intense for the game model that he's trying to play. Like, you can't ask these guys to run this much in training and then run this much in the game and then expect everything to just be okay. They're not – it's not Captain America you're playing with, you know. but absolutely ridiculous. I guess that covers all the injury fronts. I guess Varane and – Maguire, we're back in training today, and Evans, so I guess we'll have some options there for Chelsea tomorrow, but still, it's not looking good. I guess on other news, we can move on to Jason Wilcox. He was reportedly hired by Manchester United this, I think that was, what day is it? I think maybe Monday the news came out that he had resigned from Southampton and it's going to be a part of this Ineos project. There's some back and forth that Liverpool was trying to hijack the deal, but then Fabrizio came out and said, all good, he's only talking to us. So what do you guys think of that? I guess we can start with our in-the-know Hassan, the all-knower about oh, no. The details of the steals.
Sean.
Details of the steals. So I think some time ago, well, like, what was it now? A few weeks ago, I tweeted out that they were both done. And that's the word I got from my guy inside the club. And maybe he, you know, maybe he jumped the gun, maybe he didn't. But he has come and said, like, in the last few weeks, he's told me that there's finer details to sort on both the fronts. So that's what I got. But in the journalist, the news has just come out saying we're still negotiating compensation for both. So, you know, can just wait. But he does insist that they both will be done. And on the starting date for Ashworth, I never got one previously and there's still not one. So we're just going to have to wait. But I think that will be cut down as well. But yeah, on if you say Wilcox, yeah, in regards to his role, it's been reported as a technical director role, but I think what the word I've got as well from people I talk to is that he'll be involved in recruitment fairly heavily, and it is going to be first team recruitment, which is something different from what he's done before. So I'm not really sure how that's going to go yet, because in the past when he was at City, I think, was he helping manage like academy stuff and dealing with like more the academy side. So it will be a new role for him, and it's just a case of, you know, is he going to be better? Is he going to be good in this role? And as for Ashworth, everyone knows, director of football, just manages the operations. But yeah, I think once all the chefs get together in the kitchen, then I think they'll start cooking on the, if they decide to change the manager, they'll all have to get together and decide on that. But that would come, the final say would probably come, you know, at the top. So, Barada from Brailsford. But yeah, that's on that front. And on another front is that I think Mopetiers was reporting as well, United are looking at to hire someone to run the multi-club model thing. So, or we can, like, communicate with other clubs and, you know, like, if say, in your son's niece and how we can sort of get deals done between and, you know, like, use each club to help the other. But I think that's more going to be focused on the Swedish club that they've got. I don't know the name of it. I forgot. It's gone out of my mind. But, yeah, that's going to be more to an operation like that. So, say, United, we're not Brighton, so we can't just buy a 17-year-old and put them in our first team. So, what that'll be doing is like buying like a wonder kid from abroad and sending him off to loan in the Swedish team. And then once he's done there, then bring him back here once they're more ready. But yeah, that's all I've got on the Ineos front.
Sounds good to me. I feel like that's what City have been doing. That's what a lot of smart clubs do, is just use that multi-club model and use, their sister clubs to develop talent and whatnot. But I know you're happy about Wilcox because he's a big fan of Tosin, made him the captain of that City Academy.
That's it. Let's just skip to Abu first. You got any thoughts on Wilcox or
Considering I had no idea who he was until before yesterday, not really. But after
Max did a
seeing,
thread on him on our on the Stretford Trends
yeah,
page.
I read that, and like after seeing how well he's done at Southampton recruitment wise, and seeing how well he did at City youth wise, it seems like a good company. It seems like an expert, which is what I feel like Ineos is trying to do. Just hire experts, hire the best of the best, which is what we've wanted at this club for like. Flipping like God knows how long, man, for like 15 years, like 10, 15 years. So I'm happy on that. And it seems that Omar Berada has a personal relationship with him as well. And it seems like a recommendation coming from him, which is I like it as well. Someone who sees his expertise firsthand and wants this for United. And it seems like he's happy to work alongside in tandem with Dan Ashworth, as I know that sporting directors or people in his roles can be a bit picky. Or be a bit prickly about, having to share power per se. So it shows that Ineos' plan is coming together, coming to fruition. And having this multi-club model, I like it in a sense that I feel like Chelsea had it before and with Vertice, if you remember. They used to send all their youth players there and they come back ready-made. So having that right there would be good. And yeah, it just seems like good news. The only thing I'm a bit hesitant about is the starting points. So if these guys have to start in 2025 instead of 2024, it's kind of like, I like what are we gonna do for a whole year? Then I'm gonna be in limbo for a whole year. Like, what are we gonna do? Like, you get it. That's the only bad negative I have towards it. So there's just the starting points, because I'd rather them start this summer as soon as possible. Fresh start, clean slate, rather than we're having to wait a whole other year to sort out, the release clause, the paying to the clubs, and sorting out all that behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like we're just gonna try to negotiate that down as much as we can, but these clubs are playing hardball with us because they obviously don't want to see these guys go to United and just be able to implement their stuff right away. So hopefully it's as less of a time as possible. But I guess we can move on to a little bit of transfer news and preview Chelsea. But center back. That's with the Lisandro news. I mean, it's looking like we're gonna need two, three, four, five center backs, maybe. You name it. What are you hearing on that front, Hassan?
So yeah, it's United District put some Tosin news out, and I think Mufti has just did a video as well. Yes, on the news on Tosin, I think we're heavily interested, heavily monitoring the situation. I guess we'll make formal contact soon. So I think we will bring in Tosin, and it also just depends on what the club want to do. But we are heavily monitoring them, and I think the club will act on that front. And for the centre back situation, Branthwaite, like everyone's saying now, everyone's covering it, that he's really liked. But I still do think he's very raw off the ball. I feel like sometimes his defending needs some sort of development, but he's really young and I do see his potential. So it would be nice to bring him in, but then we need to give a whole time to these new centre backs. I still think if we do bring Branthwaite in and we're playing four centre backs next season, I would keep Martinez as a starting one if he can, recover from all his injuries. And the right centre back, I guess the Silva, Todibo, I think there's probably others on the list as well now, but I'm not sure what they're going to do on that front. Probably budget dependent, really, because we we're lacking in midfield as well. So yeah,
we're lacking everywhere. We basically need
him. We're going to get us at a left back as well. So
yeah, we need left back, two center backs, maybe a backup right back if Wan-Bissaka goes, two midfielders, a right winger, backup striker. We basically need one or two of every position.
Yeah, how tall are you?
I'm like 5'9".
Oh, that's, you're perfect for a center half.
Taller than Alessandro. You can do. Yeah. Jesus, put me on the right wing. More dribbles completed than Sancho, promise.
Oh, but did everyone see that clip that went viral of him doing? He didn't even go past
absolutely him. Nothing. Yeah, yeah.
It's like he's sorry to go off track, but he seems slipper. No, seems like he's more like, you know, proactive in
dribbling. He's playing football, so yeah.
It seems like he's more proactive and he seems slimmer, so he seems more quicker. But that clip, he didn't even go past Joshua Kimmich. Kimmich tackled him. So it went viral. I was like, why is this going viral? Like, I don't get it.
Fans quote tweeting like, United fans swear this guy's not good. I'm like, what did he do in the clip?
you have to watch Rashford and Garnacho. I'm like, I'd rather watch him, they get us off the pitch, they get us, you know, in dangerous areas, even if they don't always score. I think they're very important to the way we play. But Sancho,
I was wondering, like, who would be your top three, you know, positions which you need to strengthen, and your top three and the players you would buy for those positions?
It's a good question. I think definitely, I mean, center back, I think the spine in general. So when I say the spine, I say center back, definitely the six. Everyone knows I'm a huge Amadou Onana fan. So I think for that six position, I think Onana is the one. I think he partners. I think we have to look, especially in the midfield, we have to build a team around Kobbie Mainoo. That's not a, I don't think that's going to be a hot take to anyone, but especially in the midfield, we have to look at who's going to maximize Kobe's strengths and minimize his weaknesses. And when I look at Amadou Onana, he does all of that. His 6'5", probably, in my opinion, like, if not the best, like one of the best athletes, like top 1% of athletes in world football. We talk about our physical floor all the time, how we can't defend set pieces, and aerially, he's a beast. Ground coverage, he's a beast. Running power, he's a beast. And super underrated technician. I know people look at this 6'5 black midfielder and I'm like, oh, he's not technical, but he actually can pass. If you actually just watch his games instead of just looking at him, he has a very, very nice passes yesterday against Newcastle. And so I think he'd just be the perfect signing for that position. And I wouldn't play him as a lone six. I'd play him and Kobe kind of like in a pivot, so that's definitely one position. Center back for sure. I think it's going to be hard to pry Onana and Branthwaite. So I think for that left center back, we might have to go a little bit budget if we go to Onana first. But I think that's fine because I think the center back market is pretty robust right now, in terms of like getting Tosin on a free. There's Lucimi, I think is his name. Am I pronouncing that right? I don't know if you guys have heard of him. And then obviously you have the likes of Todibo. I just think two center backs. I'm fine with maybe going one premium and then one budget, but so that's two. And then I feel like my third position would probably be I'm trying to decide between, because obviously I love Luke Shaw, don't get me wrong, but he simply cannot stay fit. Like at his peak, he's exactly what we need, but he can't stay fit. But then we've also seen on the right wing, we can't start Garnacho every game or else he's going to get hurt. So I think right wing or left back would be my next. And I would go Elise to kind of bring some balance to the front three, someone who can hold up the ball, but then also, you know, get by a defender. Excellent crosser of the ball. And then if we were going left back, there's not the left back market isn't that. I like Leif Davis in the championship right now for Ipswich. 17 assists Ipswich in the championship massive. Is crazy. So yeah, I think those would be my kind of top positions.
Okay, Hassan, for you, what would you pick? I agree with all your choices as well.
So I'll just repeat what you said, really. I think I would get a centre forward in, like a versatile attacker.
Yeah.
I feel like we missed the boat on getting Marcus Thuram in. I feel like that would have been very good. But maybe it would have stopped Hoyland. I don't know his development. For me, I agree. I'm not so sure in the left back because we have Harry and Matt's coming through the youth system and everyone highly rates him. So I don't know. I was thinking, the thing is though, Luke Shaw is injury prone, we all know that. But like last season, he was calm. The season before that, he was okay. It's just this season, he's been messed up because of Ten Hag's, you know, just his stupidity, actually, just playing him so much, even though when he's injured. So I would agree on a Bramway. I'd agree on Onana as well. And for me, I would like a right winger, but this is the thing though, like if you have Rashford, Garnacho and Olise and who else? And for example, like Nico Williams, if you were to buy all these wingers, we'd have too much competition, you get what I'm saying? If you have too many players on the same age, just vying for the same position, it doesn't work out that well normally, I think. So I'm not sure. So maybe for me, I'd say a CDM in Onana, a centre-back in Bramway, and we have so many positions which need covering. I don't know, maybe another midfield? Maybe another centre-mid as well? Or, I don't know, it's pretty hard to think. Maybe, I don't know, I don't know. I can't think of the third division. Really. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
We need too much to even try to narrow it down. Just bring me good players in any position and we will probably need it.
Just bring me guys who are 6 foot, can run. Run a big athletes, you know, and then just let them play. Like we saw with City and Arsenal, they had behemoths in every single position on the pitch. They are physical monsters. They physically, tactically dominate the opposition. We don't have any physicality in our team whatsoever besides Maguire and besides the intense pressing of Garnacho and Mount. That is it. There's no physicality in this team whatsoever. There's no spine. There's no structure. Casemiro's legs have gone and he looks like a potato with every growing day. So, yeah, we need a lot of physicality, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll just move on to Chelsea and then call it off, really.
Yeah, you guys confident going into Chelsea? Stamford Bridge, Mason Mount gets a goal, coming into his old team. The script is written, but as we've seen, United don't really follow the script.
I think Cole Palmer, especially against our whatever we're going to field and whatever way we're going to play. And because our centre-back's out as well, we'll probably... Is it Maguire and Evans that will start, maybe?
Depends on Varane's. I don't know exactly what Varane's situation is. He was in training. Maguire and Varane probably.
Yeah, my bad. Probably them too. So they usually play well together. They've not lost many games together. But yeah, I'm just worried of Cole Palmer. He's getting quite a lot of goals and assists. Has he got 20 now?
Yeah, 20 or 21, I think.
Something like that. That's good numbers, especially after a youngster in his first season and our new club. So I'm worried about him, but I think we can get a few. I think it'll end in a draw, really, 2-2.
It's a mid-off. It's a mid-off. Yeah. It's a clown-to-clown conversation here this Thursday night game. It's two teams that are just... I mean, Chelsea just drew to a 10-man Burnley. Like, they're really not good. But we're also really not good, so we don't have anywhere to talk. But it's just going to be... It'll probably be a great game for neutrals. Just to tune in and, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Honestly, God, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be like a 1.2 liter Vauxhall Astra racing against, I don't even know, a Ford Fiesta. What a 1 litre. Mm. Like, this is going to be a horrible race, a horrible mid-off. I don't know who's going to win. Both teams are incredibly bad. But you know what it is with United? We say all our players are bad. Chelsea fans still think all their players are good. You're 11th or 10th for a reason. Like, you bought bad horribly. But the reason why I'm semi-confident, I don't know why I'm confident going into every game, but like, is that Chelsea have been horrible. Chelsea are susceptible to the break, and we have a lot of pace. Their fullbacks are bad out of possession. But, and yeah, and Cole Palmer, this is the one thing about Cole Palmer, is that he has offensively genius. I think he's going to score one or two. I generally think the guy is too good. But at the same time, him having a lot of positional freedom means that that right-hand side is always open for a counter-attack. Always open, considering he just floats around the middle, doesn't even do much tracking back. So I feel like if we counter that, and if Ten Hag sees that, we could get away with something. And CK's right, man, the script's in the air, man. I've seen the script, Mason Mount, 90th minute winner, kissing the badge. It's going to happen.
We pray. But yeah, it's not looking good, man. That just, especially in the league now, I just feel like we, not that there's nothing to play for, but it's just so out of reach that it's just like, it's hard to get up for these games. Like, obviously, we want to see them win, but then just like the, when you almost like don't care as much and you still lose, it's almost like, the hell am I even doing, man? This club, man. Just, brutal. Absolutely brutal. But, you know, we game tomorrow and then, shit, huge game on Sunday. That's a game that I'll be completely up for. Try to ruin Liverpool's season. But, you know, we move. Take it one day at a time with this club. We'll probably get some injury news later today. Mason Mount, something out for another month. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But we'll probably be back after the Liverpool game, I would say. So maybe Sunday, Monday. But appreciate you guys tuning in. No, we were out for a long time, but we are now back. As I said, Ramadan's coming into a close. So get these guys back to full health. Get some nutrition in their bodies. Get some sleep. And we'll be back. So appreciate
talk,
you guys.
Talk
and,
about when we're back. Like, more good things. But
isn't Trent and Jota come back to that Liverpool game?
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I have no idea, but God, I hope not.
We're getting cooked.
Yeah, regardless, they're getting cooked probably because they're going to be out for revenge and we're going to be not playing well. It's just a recipe for disaster. But we'll be here to talk about all of it. There'll be a lot more of us complaining on your airways coming soon. So we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.
Nice one.
See you later.